Good morning. Welcome to Stony Creek Church. Man, I miss those youth, those students. They always provide so much life to the church. They're an encouragement to me. But we're going to have a prayer for them after the message today. There they are up on the screen. We're also going to pray for our country. Man, there's so much hatred and division in our land. It's a sad state of affairs, and we need to be the light, and we need to pray for those that are in darkness. Well, I invite you to take out your outline out of your program, so you can follow along with the message this morning. You saw the ad for the newbie brunch. Well, I'm sorry, that's already over with. We always have the newbie lunch for the people that come to the second service. And we thought, hey, let's have something for those that come to the first service. So that's already over with. And I think some people are still back there eating. But maybe next time, all right, we'll have the newbie lunch for you guys. Well, now I invite you to take a look at the two cross streets that you see up on the screen intersecting each other in this GPS map. Now, let's say that you have been informed that by a reliable source, that at this intersection, right here, the northwest corner, there is $10 million waiting for you. $10 million. But this map is all you've got to get you there. Not much help, is it? Because you don't know the names of the streets. Might be anywhere. Some little village on the other side of the world. Some big city. Some place out in the sticks. Who knows? But then, if I give you the identity of these two streets, the northwest corner of Van Dyke and Chapiton, now you have the directions, and you're at Stony Creek Church. And unfortunately, I don't have $10 million for you, but because it's only an illustration, but I do have a valuable question. And if you get the answer to this question, it's worth more than $10 million to you. The question is, where is God directing you? Are you in the right place? Are you headed in the right direction? Or are you off track? Is God saying to you today, proceed to the root? Proceed to the root. Debbie and I were going somewhere the other night, somewhere we had never been before, and it was just this little street off to the side that we were looking for, and I even had it on my GPS, and I passed it. And it kept saying, proceed to the root, proceed to the root, proceed to the root. Kept saying that over and over again, and I couldn't turn around because there was oncoming traffic, and I said, okay, I'm getting there, all right? Proceed to the root. Well, that's the title of our message today. And, of course, this is not GPS. This is JPS. It's not global positioning system. This is Jesus positioning system. I know it's cheesy, all right? But I couldn't resist. It was just too good. We're at the intersection today of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. 2 Thessalonians 3, 5. 2 Thessalonians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul. And we're going to look at the directions because there's an intersection here in this verse. Notice, this is what it says. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Those are the two cross streets. And this is the word of the Lord, folks. It's not just a man's opinion. Please observe our guiding principle for this morning's message, for this text. It goes like this. You can write it down on your outline. The Lord Jesus is the JPS of your heart. The JPS of your heart. I know it sounds cheesy, and maybe you're thinking, Randy, are you telling me that Jesus himself directs my heart like a traffic cop out there directing cars? Well, yes. Notice the verse. May the Lord direct your hearts. When Paul uses this title, the Lord, Hakurios in Greek, it nearly always refers not to God the Father, but to God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God and Lord are both titles of deity. And in 2 Thessalonians 3:5, Paul says, the Lord here. And he's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, okay, but what does it mean for him to direct my heart? Well, in this verse, your heart, of course, is not the physical organ, the pump that is in your chest. No, here the heart is, it's a metaphor for the inner you, your soul, your spirit, the invisible you that no ultrasound, no CAT scan, no x-ray, no surgeon can ever see or detect. In a way, it's like your physical heart, hence the metaphor. There is a connection. You see, the inner you affects everything about you. If your physical heart is sick, well, the rest of you is going to be sick. Likewise, if your spiritual heart is not well, it's going to affect the rest of you. For a healthy physical heart, you need a proper diet, among other things. But for a physical, for a healthy spiritual heart, you need proper direction. And that direction is supplied to you via JPS, the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, how does the Lord direct my heart? How does this work? Well, let's just take a real quick look at two points on this. First is A on your outline. The Lord directs my heart by Scripture. Scripture. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, 105, your word, he's talking to God, your word is a lamp for my feet. Picture yourself out on a dark path in the middle of nowhere. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Without the Bible, you're driving in the dark without any headlights on, without any JPS. You say, well, I've tried reading the Bible and it doesn't work for me that way. It's hard for me to understand, or I get fatigued, or I can't follow it. Well, if that's you, let me encourage you to try a relatively new tool that's out there that's been very helpful to many, many people, even people here at Stony. It's called the Bible Recap with Tara Lee Coble. And this system helps tremendously. It comes in different forms. You can get the hard copy at a bookstore, or you can go online, you can get an app, there's videos. So try it out. The other way the Lord directs your heart is B on your outline. The first was by scripture, the second is by speaking. Yes, the Lord actually speaks to your heart. How so? Well, it's not necessarily an audible voice that you hear, but he does bring promptings to our hearts, words, even dreams, and other means as well. Look at what Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice. That means he's speaking. He's speaking to us. And it says we listen. That means we can hear. And it says, I know them and they follow me. Isn't that great? Jesus tells us that he is speaking. But please note a very important caution here. The Bible is the final authority, the written word of God. Everything that comes to you that you think might be a prompting for him has to be tested by Scripture. If it contradicts Scripture, then it's not from God. You see, there are other voices talking to you. There's your own thoughts, your emotions, there's outside people, friends, so forth, media, and then there are demonic forces that speak to you as well. So you have to put it through the filter of God's Word. That's why it's so important to be in the Word of God. Notice what Scripture says. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God. Okay, well, with that said, let's look at two key questions about the directions. They're there on your outline. The first question is, how do I proceed to the root of God's love? Once again, our text says, may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love. That almost sounds like a cliche, doesn't it? How do we process this? How do we make this real? Well, I think it helps to have a picture, a word picture. That helps us to apply it. And here's the picture I'm suggesting for you today. It comes in the form, to begin with, of this answer that's on your outline. And this is, follow Jesus' lead into his house. Now here's the picture. We're painting a word picture of your heart, the inner you. And you're outside in sub-zero weather, in a desolate place. Merciless wind howls outside. You're lost, you're shivering, you're exhausted, your teeth are chattering. You're not adequately clothed. You know you must find shelter out there or you're going to freeze to death sooner or later. That's how many of us live our lives, isn't it? I know I've been there. Henry David Thoreau, is famous for saying, most men lead lives of quiet desperation. Search your heart. Is that you? You say, no, thank God that's not me. Well, I'm glad for you, truly. But watch out, because, you know, some people have been out in the cold for so long that they've become numb to it. You know, this is how people die, freeze to death. They're out there, and at first it's very, very uncomfortable, and it hurts and so forth, but eventually they become numb, and they end up drifting into sort of a comatose state where it feels very peaceful, and they just drift into death like that. I've been in that place before. It is not a good place, and there's no need for it. If you take Jesus' hand, you see, he's out there. He's looking for you. He will direct your heart into God's house of love. As you step inside the house, oh, you find a beautiful, cozy, comfortably furnished interior where there's a roaring fire in the fireplace. That fire is the Holy Spirit giving warmth to the room, giving you warmth, comforting you, drawing you further into the room. And just then, Jesus himself assists you to exchange your torn, shabby, inadequate clothing that's caked with ice. He takes it off of you and he replaces it with a warm, comfortable pair of pajamas, with wool socks, padded slippers for your frozen feet, and a hot beverage of your choice to sip as you're enveloped in an overstuffed chair near the fire. Seated across from you on the other side of the hearth is the Lord Jesus. In fact, he's seated right next to you. And he has his hand, his nail-scarred hand, on your armrest. And that nail-scarred hand reminds you that he loves you. It reminds you what he has done for you, that he has died in your place on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin. And you know that you're in this warm, comfy house only because of him. And now you look across to the one seated opposite you, and it's the most awesome, beautiful sight imaginable. Takes your breath away. You think you should be blinded by the intensity of this light because it's 10,000 times brighter than any light on earth. It seems to shine right through you, and yet it somehow is not painful or harmful to you. No, instead, you can't take your eyes off it. You keep gazing into it. And somehow you know, instinctively, maybe it's the crackling of the fire that somehow convinces you that this is Abba. This is your heavenly Father radiating pure glory, beaming with the kindliest, most compassionate gaze conceivable. By now, you realize that you are here because of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the longer you stay, the better it gets. This is where the Lord directs you. This is the place. Jesus is guiding you, directing you each day. Don't refuse him. Here's where you go when you're hurting. Here's where you go when you're happy. Here's where you go when you're depressed. Here's where you go when you've messed up for the 10,000th time. And you need forgiveness, and you're weighed down with guilt, and you find that forgiveness. It's where you get strength for each day. No matter how hard the wind howls outside, Jesus directs your heart to this place. This place fuels your heart each day. Do you sense his hand reaching into yours, coaxing you to follow him into the house out of the cold? You see, if your heart is like mine, you often hanker for unlawful winter sports outside. These sports, well, they promise you the world. They promise me if I come back out into the cold, they'll satisfy my desire to get revenge or to stroke my pride. Oh, that feels so good. Or to enjoy my carnal appetites. They'll give me what my flesh desires. And so I go out. I go outside, full of myself, determined to enjoy my time, to do it my way, to live my life, caring for only those who care for me, loving those who love me, or at least like me. I don't have time for people I don't know or people that don't like me because it's too cold out here to bother with them. I've got to take care of myself and my own. These illegitimate winter sports, you know what they are? They're the false gods, the idols, luring my heart out of the house, promising me warmth. And they give me a little bit of that for a while, but it doesn't last. It leaves me cold. You see, my heart must remain in God's love. To go outside to the false gods not only disobeys the Lord, but it takes me out of his love. It's like walking out the door. Notice what Jesus says here in John chapter 15, verses 9 through 11. You can help me when we come to the yellow print. These are some words we've looked at recently. We're going to look at them again. Notice, Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Now remain." We studied this word a few weeks ago. Remain, it's the translation of the Greek word meno. We're going to get back to that in a minute here. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain, meno, in my love, help me, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Remaining. Remaining in his love. It's the key to joy in life, to having not just joy, run-of-the-mill, garden-variety joy, but Jesus' joy. So when you get lured out into the cold, May the Lord direct your heart into God's love. This is where you find joy. You say, but how do I remain in his love? I too, Randy, I get seduced out into the cold. What do I do to stay in? How do I prevent getting lured out? Well, our text answers. Look at it. Again, may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ into Christ's perseverance. See that word there, perseverance? That is the translation, it's a good translation, of the Greek word hupomone. Hupomone. It's made up of two words, a preposition hupa, which means under, and a word you've heard recently, meno. Hupa, under, meno, remain. Remain under. The picture is carrying this heavy weight on your back, but you know you have to get to the finish line. And you remain under, persistent, not giving up, refusing to give up. According to a scholarly Greek dictionary, hupomone, and I'm quoting here, refers overwhelmingly and positively to independent, unyielding, defiant perseverance in the face of aggressive misfortune. I love that. And thus to a kind of courageousness. I read Greek lexicons and dictionaries quite often, and rarely do I find them elaborating in such a poetic way, picturesque way. I don't know about you, but I could use a healthy dose of hupomone in my life. Amen? Well, that leads us to the second question about the directions. Number two there on your outline, how do I proceed to the root of Christ's perseverance? Well, the answer is something you might think, well, that's not that helpful. We've already covered that, but just wait. Just stay with me. Here it is. Get outfitted with love to face the storm. We're still in the word picture here, folks. From the outside, in the howling, frigid wind, you can hear the cries of people. There are people out there, freezing, lost in the storm, about to die. Others are injured, without proper clothing, just as you were. They all need to be brought into the house, into God's love. But how? You say, well, to go out there, ooh, that sounds dangerous. Well, it is. Venturing out there can get you lured away by those false gods, the pleasures of the world. You could get lost in the storm yourself. Or life in the cold may get so hard for you to bear that you become bitter and angry and despairing and resentful and cynical and self-centered, caring only about your own warmth and comfort while neglecting others. This can happen. Have you ever wandered out there into the cold? I have. I do. And it's always a miserable, lethal experience. But the answer is Christ's perseverance, his hupomone. You see, there's a good reason why Paul combines these two virtues, love and perseverance. Why? Because you need the first to obtain the second. You need God's love in order to walk in Christ's perseverance. Jesus was love incarnate. Love is what motivated him to leave the glory of heaven next to the Father and come into this dark, cold world, enter the womb of a virgin, be born and placed in a manger and live here among us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. It was love that prompted him. It was love that sustained him to face the rejection, the humiliation, the torture of the cross. It wasn't guilt. It wasn't even duty. It was love. Love is essential, you see, for perseverance. You say, my marriage is in trouble, and I don't know if I can hang on. How do I persevere? You say, I can't stomach my job anymore, but I need it. I need to keep this job. How do I persevere? You say, I've tried sharing my faith with unsaved friends, and I just end up wimping out. I feel like such a failure. How do I persevere? Do I just need more willpower? More determination? Do I just need to pull harder on the bootstraps, to pull myself up by my own bootstraps? Or maybe I need some therapy. Maybe I need to take a class. Well, those things can be helpful. But what you need most of all to persevere is God's love. Love is the most important, and the Lord Jesus longs to equip you, to infuse you with his love as you venture out into the cold, dark world and not be lured away, but to warm others with his love, to care for their needs, to clothe them and bring them into the warmth of God's house of love. It's what motivated the Apostle Paul to face imprisonment over and over again, and beatings and stoning and all kinds of terrible things. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all." Love that verse. All other motivations will fail me. My desire to please others, it can motivate me, but not enough. Guilt, can motivate me too, but not enough. Pride, self-reliance, no. To persevere through the cold and stay warm and strong at the same time, I must be compelled by God's love and remain in it. You say, but how does that work? How do I venture out into the cold and still remain warm? Those seem to be at opposite ends of each other. Answer, you get equipped in the house before going out. First, the fire in the fireplace. The Holy Spirit must be kindled in your heart. You got to take the fire with you when you go outside. Folks, this is the kind of heartburn that's good. Pray for heavenly heartburn. It keeps you warm out in the cold. To get this fire, you ask him, fill me. Fill me, I surrender. I surrender. I hand the wheel over to you. Influence me, empower me, I yield to you. With this fire, you can face the coldest of storms. For me, the fire gets kindled in the morning when I come before the Lord in prayer. I sense some stoking the fire, those embers come to life. And I read the Word of God, and the flame leaps up, and I feel the warmth of the Holy Spirit. But there's more. We learned last week that Christ is the clothing that you must put on. Romans 13:14 says, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Clothe yourself with him. How do you do that? You adopt his lifestyle. Christ is the parka that keeps the Holy Spirit fire in your heart. You adopt his lifestyle. You become his hands and feet. Christ is the big hood that keeps your head warm, keeps your mind clear. He's the gloves that you put on that enable you to do his work, to minister to people in Jesus' name. He is the boots that you wear that keep you warm as you trudge through the snow, through the bitterest of blizzards to do his work. But there's still more. As you venture out, you need to keep in the forefront of your mind the vision of the Abba Father, his infinite love, his kindly look at you. You must listen for his voice. Repeat his words. Memorize scripture and repeat his words. With all this equipping, you can even enjoy some of those winter sports, the legitimate winter sports. The Lord may bless you with a wonderful family, with a nice house, with a good workplace, good health, countless delights. He may. Life is a joy because you're so grateful. You're grateful for him in your life, for his love. But either way, whether the weather is cruel or kind, doesn't matter. God's love sustains you. You can persevere. You will persevere. Because the Lord has directed your heart into Christ's perseverance. Which brings us to our main idea. One thing you want to remember. Write it down. Proceed to the intersection of love and perseverance in Christ. The intersection, love and perseverance. The Lord right now is directing you. He's reaching his hand out to you. Take his hand. Go with him there. You know, sometimes I can't take his hand. And I ask myself, why? Well, I've spent a lot of time thinking about that and praying about that. And I've realized that when I can't take his hand, it's because I'm hanging on to something else. My hand is already full. It might be an idol. It might be a sin. It might be a grudge. Whatever it might be, I'm holding on to that, and so I can't clasp his hand while holding on to this other thing. Is this you? Does this happen to you? Is it happening today? If so, what are you holding on to that's preventing you from taking his hand and finding the warmth of his love and equipping you to face the cold? Is it a relationship, maybe? A hobby? A house, a habit? Is it a grudge you refuse to let go of? Let go of it and take his hand. You say, I can't. You can. You can. Accept his lordship over your life. It's called repentance. He'll help you. He'll enable you. Just ask him. Call on him. Maybe you've been out in the cold. You're lost. You're hurting. And you need the house of love. Come. Come inside and find it. Leave the blizzard. Come into the house. Come to him today. Confess, Jesus is my Lord. He died for me and rose from the dead. Rescue me, Lord. Rescue me. Bring me in, out from the cold, into your love. Well, we're going to close the service in just a few moments. If you would please stand with me, if you can. The band is going to close us in a song. If you're hurting and you need someone to pray with, come on down here and talk with one of the members of our pastoral prayer team. We'll be so happy to assist you. If you want to experience that love, maybe for the first time, you don't know if you're truly a Jesus follower, come on down. Or if you need prayer in some area of your life, maybe somebody, a hurting loved one, come on down. We're going to pray right now. If you brought your offering, you can put it there in the box in the back. And we're just going to dedicate that right now and pray for these things that need to be lifted up to the Lord. Dear Abba, Father, oh Lord, may we gaze into your love. May we enter it and sense it. May it warm us so much that we find it unthinkable to hang on to anything other than the nail-scarred hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Kindle the fire within us all. Heavenly Father, we lift up to you our hurting nation, our divided nation. So much hatred and division. Oh, Father, to the extent that we have participated in any of that, in word and deed, in thought, Lord, we repent. We let it go. May it never be found in us. We pray for those injured, the former president, the others that have been hit by gunfire, and for the family of this person that was killed, and the family of the shooter who was also killed. Lord, may we turn to you May this terrible event jar us, Lord. May it wake us up. May it be the alarm that wakes us. We've had many alarms, many, many, like this one. Over the years, may this one wake us up that we might turn to you. May the church be revived. May our nation be awakened. Father, may this be a turning point, a good turning point for us. And Father, on a much more positive note, we lift up to you those who are on this mission trip to Puerto Rico. We thank you that they have arrived safely and that they're there. May this be a wonderful experience for them, one that they rejoice in for the rest of their lives. But may it also be a time where they are used by you to advance your kingdom, to be your hands and feet, to minister to people in need. And Lord, may they not come back the same. May they come back closer to you, stronger in you, more determined than ever to serve you with unrelenting perseverance fueled by your love. Father, we give to you our tithes and offerings and ask that you would use every penny to bring glory to your name and to advance the kingdom into this dark world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.